Be'eshus Marino Rav Shlita. You say this share le'ilu nishmas Rav Yonah Avrom Stauffer, Mr. Freddy Stauffer, whose yotzah is on Yud Tes Kislev. I remember him very well, having been a neighbor of mine, and he was a very warm and humble personality. We also remember Ashley Klinger, whose yotzah was on Thursday, 29th of Kislev, who was a regular attendant at this
Sheva.
Oh, Cheshvan, yes, you're right. 29th of Cheshvan, last Thursday.
He contributed to Shia on Shavas.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
He was a regular attendant. Well, there's an English proverb, what goes around comes around, and that might reflect the ideas which we're going to bring today. I've always found this an interesting subject, ever since I was a teenager and there was a quiz about what is the longest English palindromic word, which at that time was Malayalam, which is a name of an Indian language. Since then, I think there's some other English word, an onomatopoeia, taratatat, or something like that. But whatever it is, we're not giving shopping lists today. We're not talking English. We're talking about Torah. This is meant to be a Shia. V'nosnu is the immediate reaction everybody gives when I tell them I'm talking about palindromes. That's the word they come out with in their minds. And truly, that is the most well-known one. And there's a famous Balaturim who says, Tzedakah yachzar elov. That when you give tzedakah, when you give charity, you will get it back in some form or another. It's not something which diminishes your budget because you get such a big zechus from it. There is one version I saw where you will get more back than what you laid out. What you give to tzedakah, you get back. The Vilna Gaon has a slight variation of the Balaturim. He says, not necessarily that you get it back, but your children may get it back from the person's children you're giving to, or any subsequent generations, or a Gilgal. But there is always an investment. When it comes to tzedakah, you're putting something into it. You or somebody else will get something back from it. There are loads and loads of stories you can read in places like Mishpacha and Ami about all the wonderful things that happen to people who give tzedakah. I had one personal experience I must tell you about of a man in Stamford Hill who decided to rebuild his house, and he decided to do it without planning permission because he knew he would not, he felt he wouldn't get it. So he thought he'll get away with it, and he spent £1 million on building a house, breaking all the rules, building it up and outwards and this way and that way and down, of course. And it was unbelievable. And the council served an enforcement notice on him that he has to pull this house down. And he came to me asking for help, and I phoned up the council and I said, can we negotiate? They said, no, there is no negotiation. The whole lot has to come down. So he said, we have to appeal. I said, look, you know, you don't really stand much chance if you appeal. He said, I've got no choice. What can I do? Okay. Anyway, we appealed and he won. This is not an advert for my business. This is an advert for tzedakah. Because I said to him afterwards, come on, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Have you been doing any good deeds behind everyone's backs, which nobody knows about? Because I've had experience of this before with others. And he blushed. And I said, come on, tell me what you've been doing. He said, well, there was this divorced woman who was homeless and I helped her out, find a place to live and make sure she gets an income. Yeah, yeah. I said, come on, tell it. What else? What else? And he started telling me other things, reluctantly, which he had been doing. When people give tzedakah, unbelievable things happen to them. I'm not suggesting that you're bribing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in a vulgar sense, that is what you're doing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens when you give tzedakah or when you do gemilos chasodim. Gemilos chasodim, kind deeds, you can do to rich people as well as to poor people. So kind deeds can be done to anybody, not just to poor people. That is the effect of tzedakah. That is the message of v'nosnu. You'll get it back, or one of your future generations will get it back. You get dividends. Interestingly, the musical notes on the Nosnu is Kadmo v'Azla, which like reflect each other. It's reciprocal. Or that if you rush to do, Kadmo v'Azla means to get up and do something quickly and to go, that you go and do it properly, that is the best way of doing tzedakah. But I find that there's a reciprocal idea in the Naginas of Kadma Ba'azla. So that's for Nosnu. Okay, but the Shia's not over. There's more to it than that.
Is there any way that people will know that they're getting back because of the Vanosnu?
Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu might do things in a delayed way, and it might not be readily apparent.
Right, yeah.
But it's on the Cheshbon. It's on the Cheshbon that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Gemilus Chasodim and Tzedakah by such a thing. So, it's just a three-letter word I'm coming to now, but I found it fascinating because the Pasuk is actually saying to you what this palindrome is about. So in Parshas Emor, we have, of course, if you injure somebody else, we know about the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and we know that there is financial compensation, but that the person who causes injury, a mum, has to compensate. So, the ish ki yitain mum ba'amiso, kashe oso, just as he did to the person, kenye oso lo. It doesn't mean that you cut off his hand or you bash out his eye. The Talmud explains that it's a financial compensation, but a person has to give back the injury that he did. And in the same way, sheve tachas sheve, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kashe yitain mum ba'adon kenye oso lo. So it's actually the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk is actually saying is, you give a mum to somebody else, you will get back the retribution. And all right, so you'll say to me, come on, Eli, you're just giving us a three-letter word. Give us a palindrome with something more, 5 letters, 7 letters, 9, 11 letters. Give us more than that. But 3 letters, you know, you're not going to give us very much.
Tachas is also.
Tachas is also. Oh, yeah. I hadn't realised. Yeah. Thank you.
And it's all bound up with each other, isn't it?
Yeah, tachas is that you have, because there is the whole question of why does it say tachas? Why does it say ein ba'ayin? Shein b'she. Well, ein tachas, yeah, it's the palindrome. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Cooper had an explanation on why it's shein b'she, ein ba'ayin in Shoftim,
yeah.
And ein tachas ayin in Mishpatim.
Oh.
Which is what?
More than okay. Well, in Parsha Shoftim, it's about Edom Zomimim, and in Edom Zomimim, it's Kashe Zomimim and Kashe Oso. It's not what they actually did, whereas the word Tachas in Mishpatim is about Nezikin, and that is a true in lieu of.
Shkoyach. Thank you. I'm glad we mentioned Rav Cooper. That's nice. In last week's Sedra, not this yesterday's Sedra, but the week before, we had Chaye Sora, and the first word of Chaye Sora was Vayihuyu Chaye Sora. I haven't printed out by Yehuyu. The first word of the parasha is a palindrome. What's the idea of the palindrome? There's a sefer, relatively new sefer, called Chamuda Yitzchok, who says, because you look at Rashi, it says when he compares that when she was 7 to when she was 20, and when she was 20 to when she was 100, so that it goes backwards as well as forwards, that when she was 100, she was like 20, so it reflects back on her life. So Vayihu, he says, is a palindrome. So the next one I've got here is yesterday's Sedra. So Esav HaRosha, he's very upset because Yaakov got the bracha. So when Yaakov comes to his father, it says Vayovei Eloviv. That's not a palindrome. Because when Yaakov Avinu came, he just did so on his mother's instructions. So Yaakov Avinu was just doing what Rivka told him to do. But Esav had ulterior motives in getting the brocha. He wanted the brocha because he's going to get rich from it. And he, according to the Chizkuni, he wanted to show to his children what Kibbutz is so that they would honor him. And we know that Eliphaz, his son, honors him. And he then gets the brocha. So Esav had a motive. So his motive of getting something back is Vayovei La'aviv, which is a palindrome.
Get them together.
Reads backwards, the same as forwards. It's okay. The lamad is part of the palindrome. So there you have it. He had ulterior motives so that he could get something back, whereas Yaakov Avinu did not have any ulterior motives. And so the Orach Chaim writes, not as a palindrome, but he writes in the Perush, that Esav honored his father, not because of the mitzvah, But because he wanted to get brachos and he didn't want to be cursed, he knew that his ways were different to what his father's was. He knew that his father was upset that he married idolatrous wives. So he was worried that his father would curse him. So he went out of his way to do kibbud av and even put on his Shabbos clothes before he came in to see his father, honoring his father so much. Why? Not because of the mitzvah, because that way he could stop any curses coming to him. He had ulterior motives all the way through.
But don't you say it was outstanding, his kibbud av?
His kibbud av was really outstanding, yes.
But he had ulterior motives.
Yeah. Who brings this palindrome?
This same Sefer Chamudei Yitzchok, which is written by a grandson of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he notes this and he comments on it. But he says it's not his own chiddush. He quotes from a Sefer called Ratfunei B'Tapuchim, a Rav Arieli, who actually quotes, who talks about this palindrome, and so he quotes it in his Sefer. I didn't prepare these in the right order, but if we jump over to Parshas Vayishlach, there are a couple there which the same word Venosnu is written in a different form in Vayishlach as Venosanu. In the story of Dina's capture, and they are negotiating with Hamor and Shechem about doing a quickie conversion, that they will have Bris Milah, and then we will give our sons to you, your daughters. We will reciprocate, and by reciprocating, v'nosanu espenoseinu lochem, we will give our daughters to you, espenoseichem nitein nikach lonu. There's also the word nitein, which is also a palindrome in the parasha, which comes just a bit further. But there again, you've got the ulterior motive. In a sinister way, you might say, really they were saying, look, you abused us, you kidnapped our daughter or our sister, and we will give it back to you. You will get retribution. That's the hidden message, which they were not saying to them. But they were saying to them, look, okay, you know, we marry your kids marry our kids, fine, v'nosanu. So that's in Parshas Vayishlach. And another one in Parshas Vayishlach is at the beginning of the Parsha, where Esav is coming to meet Yaakov after a very long period of time, and Yaakov puts his kids into two camps, his wives and kids into two camps. So he says, if one camp gets attacked, then at least the other one will survive. But what he's saying is, im yovo Esav amachnachas vehikohu, palindrome, and smite us, then the camp which remains will survive. But this word vehikohu implies, and this is also from Rav Arieli, he says the other camp will hit back, because Esav will not realize that there are two camps. He does not know how many children Yaakov has. He doesn't know how many wives he has. So when the other camp will lie in ambush, and if they attack the first camp, then they will kill Esav and his camp. So that will be a retribution vehikohu. So that's taking these out of order. If we now move on, we will come to Parshas Vayechi. And Parshas Vayechi is something which I asked my father about 25 years ago. I said, Daddy, why is Onosono a palindrome? Onosono, and it's not just Onosono, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters. The pay before and the pay after creates a longer palindrome. So if you take the fay of Yosef, ko somru li Yosef ono sono pesha, from the pay here to the pay there is 9 letters. What is the significance? And I asked my father, and he immediately said to me, well, it's obvious. We're talking here about revenge. Or they were worried, the sons of Yaakov, after Yaakov died, were worried that Yosef will take revenge on his brothers after their father had died for having been sold down to Egypt. So the brothers were worried. They were worried that they'll get back what they had done to their brother. So there is a palindrome there. And onosono is that they're trying to appease him. So they say, before our father's death, whether that's true or not, that's a matter of conjecture. But onosono, before our father died, your father instructed us that they should say to Yosef, forgive, I urge you, the sin of your brothers. They were saying, Daddy said you have to forgive us. Don't take revenge on us. Well, forgiveness is also a reciprocal arrangement. Onosono is a reciprocal arrangement. But more than that, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Daf Yud Zayin. Kalamave al midosov ma'aviren al kopashov. A person who goes against his own natural instincts to do nice things to others, to go beyond the letter of the door of the law, then that person is forgiven for all his averus. Ma'aviren al kopashov. That the tzaddik who is giving others, as we said from the Nosnu, also in the way he behaves towards others, he will be forgiven in a reflective, reciprocal manner. And that's the lesson from Onosono. And there's another idea which is similar, that not only if Yosef forgives the brothers, then Hashem will forgive Yosef if he's done any averus. I mean, there's another idea which comes out of this. If one person loves another person, that creates a love in return. By the mere fact that you can bring a drink of cup of tea up to your wife in the morning, then she will be nice to you. It works. So that is the idea of marriage guidance. If you are nice to her, then she will be nice to you. So, I'm not an expert. I've only been married 43 years, which is not long enough to give a marriage guidance lesson. But the lesson of onosono is you radiate love and warmth to others. That's the way to get Baalei Tshuva. You show them Ahavas Yisrael. You don't reject them. If you show them warmth and love and attention, and you bring them into your home, provided they're not a bad influence, then that is the best message of Yiddishkeit. When you teach Yiddishkeit to those who've gone off the derech, you can talk logic all day long and it won't bring them round. You can give them such convincing philosophical arguments from the Sefer Kuzari, from the Sefer of Rav Yosef Albo, Sefer Karim. Give them all the logical arguments. That is not enough to make them keep Shabbos, to wear tzitzis, to put on tefillin. But if you show them love and attention, then you get the onosono, then they will come back much more easily into Yiddishkeit. So, I could not find any perush whatsoever to explain my next one. But this one is, I think, the longest one in the Chumash. And that is, Meshamatu esachukah azos lema'adom yomim yomimo from Parshas Bo. And this is towards the end of the Parsha, after we've been through all the drama relating to the Makkos and coming out, we're already coming out from Mitzrayim, and taking the hay of lema'adom, through to Miyamim Yomima, you have 11 letters, a palindrome. What is the message from Miyamim Yomima? So all I could do, you know, if you can't find a perush on something, then the only thing you can do is make one up. But you look at the Mephoshim to see what they're saying about Miyamim Yomima, and that some idea from those Mephoshim will reflect on the palindrome. And this is what I found from the Midrash Tanchuma. The Tanchuma says, "Kashem she'odam avorich la'Kadosh Baruch Hu." Just like we give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven, kach hu mevorich. So that person will get a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is the context of this whole paragraph? It's reflecting on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the perek starts off as remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to you when you came out from its shrine. Then we got the Hoyaki V'Yacho, and we got the Tefillin, right? And we got the Isser of Chometz, all in this paragraph. No Chometz on Pesach. And I found in the post, quoting from the Ari HaKadosh, a very interesting idea, that if you are makbid on Chometz, that you don't have any Chometz on Pesach, and you keep Matzah properly, then there's a Chazal, which is in fact brought down in the Be'ehetav, in the Sefer of the Mishnah Berurah, based on a Gemara in Sota, mitzvah bo'idna de'osik bei matzil min hachet. If you keep the mitzvah properly of Chometz, then you will be saved from sin the whole year. Now that doesn't mean that you're not going to sin the whole year, because you've got Bechira and you might make a slip during the whole year. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that extra strength to withstand the Yetzer Hara. If you keep that mitzvah of chametz and matzah properly, it will come back at you. And it says, for the whole year, Rashi says, miyomim yomimo, from 1 year to the next. Miyom Mimyom doesn't then mean literally from one day to the next, but from 1 year to the next. That for the whole year, you will get that strength and that encouragement to be saved from sin by being makpid about chometz. I'll come back, if there's time, to Miyom Mimyom Mimo, which was my favourite one because it's the longest one in the Chumash. But this one is on Parshas B'Shalach, not a palindrome, but the first letter of each word spells backwards the same as forwards. And this was from the Baba Vareba, the second Baba Vareba, Rav Tzion Halberstam, who was murdered in Auschwitz in 1941 or 42. He wrote a sefer called Kedushas Tzion. And there he says that when you daven to Hashem for parnosa, then Hashem gives it to you. This is talking about the mon. The mon reflects the idea of parnosa and our livelihoods. That if we put in the effort, and dare I say, in the gashmius and the hishtadlus, as well as the ruchnius of davening, we put in the effort, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back. So hineni mamtzi lochem lechem min hashamayim, the first letters, hey, mem, lamed, lamed, mem, hey, are palindromic, that they are backwards as well as forwards. That's the message from the Baba Vareb. Right, then we now move on to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, who lived in the 1200s, he lived in London for a while. Apparently he had problems with Parnosa, so maybe he wanted to apply the Baba Vareba's dictum of Hin Li L'chamamtzi Min Hashamayim. But he came to London for a while, and somebody asked him a question about why is not Mashiach coming? And the question was put to him in the form of a palindrome. So this is Ibn Ezra. Ovi kel chai shimcha lomon melech Mashiach lo yavo. My father, living Lord, is your name. Why will not Mashiach come? It reads exactly the same backwards as forwards. The whole sentence is a palindrome. So not to be outbeaten, Ibn Ezra, who was very famous for poetry, as well as his perish on the Chumash and other things, amazing man, he answered, "Du me'avichem ki lo vosh evo shev ashuv aleichem ki vomo eid," which means, "Learn from your father that I will surely not be ashamed to return to you when the time has come." That when the time comes, Mashiach will come, and the whole sentence is a palindrome. It's quoted in quite a number of places, although it's not actually in the parish of the Ibn Ezra. There's a sefer called Pardes Yosef, who in two different places quotes the Ibn Ezra, although according to the Pardes Yosef, he claims that one of his palindromes, which is the next one we're going to speak, was from Rabbi Mishneh Zalman of Liadi, the first Chabad Rebbe. But all other opinions who talk about this are quoting the Ibn Ezra. And this is the Pardes Yosef in Parshas Kisiso, where he says, "V'shamati Yomim b'shem Rabbi Ibn Ezra, Avram ben Ezra, Shashalu b'zeh haloshen avi kel chai shimcho." He quotes this, and this is Nikra Yoshev HaHopech. So the Hebrew expression for palindrome, I mean the Ivrit for palindrome is palindrome. But he says Yoshev HaHopech, which means forwards and backwards. V'koya Hashem Yisparach, why doesn't he send Mashiach? And he answers that when the right time comes, he says v'zeh niflo, and this is amazing. That the Mashiach will come when Hashem decides at the right time. We all know the story of the children who meet Eliyahu HaNavi, and they ask him, when is Mashiach coming? And he says, Hayom, today. What, fantastic. The day passes, they go away, Mashiach doesn't come. They meet him again another day. How, when is Mashiach coming? He says, today, Hayom, im b'kolo sishmo'u. So every single day is appointed to be the day when Mashiach comes, provided that we are ready. We have to do our homework. So, kivo moed, when the right time has come. That is the answer from the Ibn Ezra.
When you say we, are you referring to the whole
Klal Yisrael?
Well, that's not going to be likely, is it?
Let's not be pessimistic. All it needs is two Shabbosos and the Shiach will come. Move on.
I think that 7th of October had tremendous effect on lots yes. of Jews who are not.
There are more Israelis now wearing tefillin than there were before the 7th of October.
Okay, but not all.
No, but
we're moving forwards. I mean, you know, there's all this arguing about the army draft. When this permit was given to release yeshiva boys from the army, but given by Ben Gurion in 1948, there were 400 yeshiva bachrim. There are now 80,000 in Eretz Yisrael alone. It's staggering. Look what's happening. If we just imagine how things are moving in that direction, and as the Maharal says in two different places, that the whole Malchus Mashiach will come from a Malchus Sha'im Ben Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, which will grow and eventually become Malchus Shel HaKadosh Baruch of Kedusha.
You can't blame people who are Tinnik Shanishba. If they didn't know, if people who didn't know,
they're not going to change. They're not going
to
become.
No, that's right. So you can't. You have to exclude those.
Well, you didn't know, right? Rav just said everybody is Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah, but we also have ourselves to blame. It's not. We're not perfect. We should know better. We do lots of things. Yeah.
I believe that it's possible for Mashiach to come, even if not all Yidden are keeping. Rabbi Cooper used to say there'll be big surprises one day when Mashiach comes. Because it will be discovered that many of the Yidden who are not keeping Shabbos are not really Yidden at all. Mm-hmm. And the Shiach will reveal, Eliyahu Navi will reveal who is Jewish, who has the Yichus, who isn't, who are the Kohanim, who aren't. And he said there will be many Goyim who didn't know that they were Jewish, who will be told they're Jewish, who are really righteous, wonderful people. So there will be some big surprises when the Shiach comes. Watch this space. Again with the Ibn Ezra. And everyone agrees, except so the Paras Yosef says that this was the first Chabad Rebbe. This is a Shaila in Halacha. This is a question about a bee which gets its legs stuck inside some honey. It could be any insect which gets its legs stuck inside some honey. The bee flies away and the legs are left inside the honey. And the Shaila is, can I eat that honey? Now, you might not want to eat that honey because it's repugnant to you, because there are the legs of an insect inside it, or there were at least. But what's the halachic issue here? Can one eat the honey? Is it kosher? And this question was asked to the Ibn Ezra, and this was his answer. Peirashnu ravasan shebidvash nispay v'nisraf. Peirashnu means we have explained. Ravasan is literally the hungry insect. Rive is hungry. But this bee, which is hungry, it's a very active insect. It's hungry. Which comes into the honey, shebidvash. Nispaya, it is eradicated. Vinisraf, literally, it's burnt. It means it's completely destroyed and it doesn't exist anymore. Because of the rules of Bittul, of Taruvos, and that the honey dissolves these legs anyway, and then the halacha, you may eat this honey. That is what he wrote back. Peirashnu reads forward, the last word reads Peirashnu backwards. So Peirashnu is not a palindrome, but his last word reads back the same word. Ravasan, here Ravasan, the fourth line. Shebidvash is a palindrome, reads backwards as well as forwards. But it's not only forwards and backwards, it's downwards and upwards. Peirashnu here is Peirashnu there, upwards. Ravasan downwards in the second column is Ravasan in the fourth column. And Shebidvash downwards is a palindrome going upwards. This is not just called a palindrome, it's called by the linguistic experts a satur square, based on some Latin concept which was done with five letters, five words. But we're not going into the Latin now. This was the Ibn Ezra. So famous is this that in the Wikipedia in English about palindrome, you will find them writing about this. Diagnosed as well.
Yes, that's true. If you look at the top right, bottom left, every diagonal column, whichever one is palindromic.
It's palindromic, but it's not the same words.
Ah, it's not the same words, though, is it?
There's the palindrome.
There's the palindrome.
The pay, top right, and the pay.
Oh, you mean these? This is a palindrome, even though it's not a word. Pay, ein, dalet, ein, pay.
And the ones next to it, reish, 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 shin, tof, shin, nun, nun.
Diagrammatic, diagonally, you're getting palindromes, but they're meaningless.
So what is the context of this? What relevance has this got to...
He's giving a psak halacha that you're allowed to eat the honey. But the way he's giving his answer, as somebody who was a poet in his spare time, it was his hobby, he fancied writing the answer in this palindromic way. A beautiful Ibn Ezra. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but there's an interesting story which I'm grateful to my son-in-law, the son of Chalomish, who told me about Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. The famous Rav Yonasan Eibshitz was a frequent ambassador to try and save the Jewish people from being expelled from their towns. In the town of Metz, he was told by the bishop that all the Jews had to go. And typically, as the bishop expected, Rav Yonasan went round to this bishop and begged for the Jews to be allowed to stay. And the bishop asked him some tricky questions, which he answered correctly. We won't go through the whole list now. He was saying, Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish people live forever. I do have some photos, copies of this on A4 size, if anyone wants to take away and check this. Am Yisrael Chai Le'ol Me'ad. He said, the Jewish people will live forever and ever. So this cheeky bishop said to him, I want you to write that out for me. He said, how many Jewish people are there in Metz? He said, 47,560. He said, I want you to write that pasuk, what you just said to me, out. That number of times. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz said, how much time have I got? And the bishop said, 1 hour. So he wrote this out. And Am Yisrael Chai Le'ol Me'ad reads in all different directions. So you can read it from this middle eye in here. You can read upwards, Am Yisrael Chai Le'ol Me'ad, like this. So upwards and forwards. Am Yisrael Chai Le'ol Me'ad, forwards and upwards and backwards. The same as downwards and backwards, downwards and forwards. And then when you get used to it, apparently, Reb Nassanel told me that it took this bishop a whole year to work out exactly all the permutations to get 45,000 different permutations. I can't work out 45,000. I've worked it out in lots of different directions, but it takes time to put your mind to it. I can give you photocopies if you want. It's not a palindrome, but it's mind-boggling. And that... I'm grateful to Nassanel for bringing this to my attention.
Another genius, in other words.
Rav Yonasan Eibshitz was genius, yes. That he could write this whole thing out in 1 hour. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Did the bishop allow the Jews to stay?
And the Jews were saved. Baruch Hashem. But unfortunately, there's been expulsions of Jews throughout Europe over the centuries, including London, including England in 1290. I'm not going to go through this now, but in the Sefer Charev, in certain editions of Charev, written by Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, there is a hesped written about Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch by his son. His name was Rav Yehuda, or Julius, as they called him in German. Rav Julius Hirsch wrote a hesped about his father, and it's approximately people say it's 248 words, but I've counted about 260. And the whole thing is one long palindrome. This hesped of Rav Hirsch, this pasuk here is a palindrome. Hiluch nivi keda mocho ruach imdok yovin kulo reads exactly the same backwards as forwards. And from this word, horo imu kruim b'shem hemo, reads exactly the same backwards, horo imu kruim b'shem hemo, as a long palindrome, this whole piece. Again, I've got photocopies with me if you want to take one away with you to check. A most amazing piece of a hesped. So some of this is pretty fanciful. Some of this is, oh, very nice. Or I can hear my granddaughter saying to me, oh, that's cool. But that's not what the purpose of a shir is. The purpose of a shir is to learn Torah, is to inspire. So I'd like to come back to one palindrome, which I think gives a very, very important hashgafic message. And that is the one, the longest palindrome in the Chumash, I think, Mi Yomim Yomimo, is a very, very powerful message. Because when you take it in its context of the whole paragraph, after the whole dramatic story of the Esem Makkos and Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles that happened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remember. Remember what happened. And that brings you forward to the mitzvahs of Tefillin, Chametz and Natzvah, and the whole Torah. Miyomim Yomimo. What is the message? And there's a famous moshel. A famous moshel, if a person is going for a walk in the countryside, and he comes to some crossroads, and he doesn't know which way to go, because he doesn't have a map, and he doesn't have GPS, he doesn't have a signal on his phone to work from Google Maps, so how does he find his way? He is lost. Because the signpost which was there is lying broken on the ground. So what does he do? He sees on the signpost that one of the directions is pointing for the place where he came from. So he says, oh, I know what I can do. I'll stand up the signpost and I know where I came from because I'm coming from, I don't know, Luton Airport. And there's a signpost that says Luton Airport. So I point it in the direction I'm coming from and now I will know which way to go. I think that is the very strong message of Miyomim Yomimo. The beginning of the paragraph talks about remember the coming out from Mitzrayim and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. If we look back, and that's what we're doing on Seder night, if we look back and recall just with a story, no pilpils, no drushes, no great philosophies, but the sipur of telling the stories of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nisim, when we look back with our experience, then we know how to move forward in our Yiddishkeit. That is the message. And that is why Miyomim Yomimo is a palindrome. Thank you for sharing with this so patiently. Yeah. 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 Don't